the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Monday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Hey, guys. Happy Monday.
Hello.
Hey, good morning. How is it going this morning?
Well, hopefully good for a lot of folks. And hopefully we'll get your stay started off on the right foot.
Yeah.
As always, we begin our morning with prayer in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, you made Saint Veronica glorious by the wounds of the passion of your Son. Through her example in prayers, enable us to become like Christ, humbly embracing the cross so that we may rejoice in the revelation of his glory. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Saint Veronica Giuliani, pray for us. Hey, a nice paisan.
I was about to ask you, is she a relative? So,
a relative.
You love your Italian saints.
yeah, definitely. I do. You're right about that, Gabby.
Well, we have a great lineup for you today, starting off with Will Newell. Will is an Emmaus men's retreatant. And every year he joins us to tell us about the just conversion experience and the wonderful faith-filled experience he's had over at the Emmaus Men's Retreat. That is coming up. And I have to say, we're going to continue to hear more and more men talk about their journey through the Emmaus Men's Retreat, this powerful retreat. So stay with us. That is coming up in about 5 minutes. In 18 minutes, Alan Migliarato joins us. He is a co-author of Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. And every Monday, he joins us to talk about raising Catholic teens in today's world. So looking forward to hearing from Alan. It's always a fun conversation with Alan as well. In 35 minutes, Dr. Tina Holland joins us. She's the president of Franciscan Missionaries of Our Lady University. She's going to be providing us some updates. And in 48 minutes, Father Bryce Higginbotham joins us. He's a priest over in the Diocese of Homo-Thibodeau and also a student at the Pontifical Biblical Institute in Rome. And today we're talking about the Eucharistic revival as we continue on in our church. So looking forward to today's show, Damian, and looking forward to today's weather.
Well,
what do you have for us?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a lot like yesterday, partly cloudy skies early on, 60% chance of rain as the day goes on, though. So you're either going to get a scattered shower, possibly a thunderstorm here and there. Won't last very long, but could be powerful when it does show up. Otherwise, high is going to be 90, winds out of the west-northwest at 5 to 10. Tomorrow, pretty much the same thing, 50-50 chance of rain. The high is going to be 92. So because of the cloud coverage and the rain that we get off and on, it's keeping temperatures a little lower than normal. As the week goes on, though, it's definitely going to heat up. We'll be seeing close to 98 degrees by the end of the week. So be aware of that. Temperatures in and around the area right now, Homo-Thibodeau as well as on the North Shore, it's 79 degrees. In Biloxi, it's 81. In Baton Rouge, 82. And in New Orleans, it's 83. So temperatures rather muggy, to say the least. And it's just summer. It's here.
Yep. Yep, stay hydrated, wear your sunscreen, and you know it's Monday because you're clutching that cup of coffee. Well, why not join the Catholic Community Media's Coffee Club? It's a recurring $30 a month donation, and it is the backbone of what we do here at Catholic Community Media. So you can go to ccmedia.live and click on donate, and there's a join the coffee club button.
You bet. And we've got coming up, Will Newell. He'll be with us. David Dawson will be chatting with him. Talk about the Emmaus retreat coming up for men in the New Orleans area. In the meantime, it's 5 after. Time to get up, get going. Here on this July 10th.
Good Monday morning. I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 9. While Jesus was speaking, an official came forward, knelt down before him, and said, "My daughter has just died, but come, lay your hand on her, and she will live." Jesus rose and followed him, and so did his disciples. A woman suffering hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the tassel on his cloak. She said to herself, "If only I can touch his cloak, I shall be cured." Jesus turned around and saw her and said, "Courage, daughter, your faith has saved you." And from that hour, the woman was cured. When Jesus arrived at the official's house and saw the flute players and the crowd who were making a commotion, he said, "Go away. The girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. When the crowd was put out, he came and took her by the hand, and a little girl arose. And news of this spread throughout all the land.
8 minutes after the hour, you're tuning your heart to the truth. I'm David Dawson, along with Gabby Smith and Damian Collado. And right now, we have Will Newell on with us. We're going to be talking about a retreat that's coming up. Good morning, Will.
Hey, good morning, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing great. Tell us about this retreat that's coming up. I love the name.
Okay. Yeah, we have the Emmaus retreat. The Road to Emmaus is coming up in a month, and we are looking for men to join us.
Uh-huh. All right. All right. Now, I mean, the gospel, the road to Emmaus, we had a couple of guys going down the road who were pretty dejected, pretty disappointed, and didn't realize Christ was among them all along and revealed all kind of things to them. Is that what the retreat is going to be like?
Yes, it is.
All right.
The whole retreat is based on the Emmaus gospel, and that's really been, you know, his entire story in one story. It's the gospel within the gospel, and that's the whole retreat's designed around the road to Emmaus. So it kind of takes different parts of the road, and we use that to frame the different dynamics and teachings.
Yeah. Okay. So you have openings for how many men? How is that looking as far as enrollment goes?
We have a good base set up now. Usually we get a lot of late entrants, but we can probably take another 20 would be great.
Oh wow! Okay, great.
Yeah, so okay. We're definitely beating the bushes to get the word out and get everybody signed up.
Okay, all right. And you have guest speakers? Do you have how does that work? What's the layout of the retreat?
So the retreat starts on Friday evening, and you know we have different dynamics. We have some it's all run by lay people. We have a core team that puts on the retreat, we have different speakers with some testimonies and different topics. Don't want to spoil the surprise.
Right. Don't want to give too much away.
Well, when is the retreat, and where is it, and how much does it cost, Will?
The retreat is August 11th through 13th in a month. It's Friday evening at 4 o'clock. It starts at St. Dominic. We do, you know, a little bit there. And then the actual retreat location this time is at the W.J. Kelly Retreat Center in St. Louis.
Oh, wow.
We provide transportation to and from. It's a very nice retreat center. It's right on the beach. The registration fee is $200, but if finances are a problem, we do have some scholarships available. So
wow, that is fantastic. So you start off at St. Dominic's and just have like opening prayer and such, and then load a bus, or what do y'all do? Caravan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we usually caravan.
Okay.
So, and then the retreat concludes back at St. Dominic's with Mass on Sunday.
Okay. So, like around noon Mass.
With the 5:30 Mass.
Okay. Okay. Well, and once again, refresh me. What time do things start on Friday? So
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock. So, I mean, you have time. You can get off to work a little bit early and then and then get a good long spiritual weekend going.
Great location.
Well, share with everybody. How many years have y'all been doing this now?
This is going to be our 32nd retreat. We have two a year, so it's been 15 years.
Yeah, oh, this isn't new. Oh,
no,
wow.
It's not new. That, all right. Dave's, I could tell he was under the impression he thought this
years.
Was a new
retreat.
Yeah, I
thought, what a new venture you got here.
No. Yeah. And this started years ago. Where exactly did it begin? If I'm not mistaken, somebody, I think, told me maybe in the Carolina area. I might be wrong. But
Our group started with the founders went to Miami,
okay.
And they had an Emmaus group there, and they kind of put on, they put the retreat on. The guys were blown away, and they're like, well, now you have to start one in the New Orleans area.
Mm-hmm.
And so a couple of them came up and helped with the first one, and since then it's been a local effort. So.
And like the Axe Retreat, once you make it, you can't make it again. Is that the same for Emmaus?
Yeah, but once you're an Emmaus brother, you can go on a retreat and you can be part of the team, and it's honestly right. it's reward every time. It's very rewarding in different ways.
Okay.
So you're giving back. It's very fulfilling.
All
so
right,
I was on Emmaus 9, and I've been going. I had kids in sports for a while, but I've been going pretty regularly since then, and it's really a. It's a great experience every time.
Oh, I'm sure it is. Now, is it open to the public, or it's not strictly for St. Dominic's, right?
Correct. It's
okay.
Open to the public. It's you don't have to be Catholic to go. We welcome all
okay.
all men.
All right, then. So somebody's coming in from Baton Rouge. Say, how do you get to St. Dominic's?
Oh, it's in Lakeview. You use Google Maps.
Okay.
Yeah, put it in Waze. Where do we go to sign up? Not me, but where do men go to sign up? Well,
so it is on the St. Dominic Parish website. It's St. Dominic with a C parish.com, and it's under upcoming events. We have a link there for the Emmaus Retreat. There's an online registration form.
Great.
Or there's phone numbers if you want to, you can do the old fashioned way. You can print it out and mail it in and call
That's
one
what
of
Dave's
us.
That's going to do.
There you go. Nah,
yeah.
Hey, I'm going
can,
to handwrite a form. Yeah.
You can write a form and write a check and put it in the mail.
There you go.
Or you can do it all online with Zelle.
I don't know. Gabby's got me in the Stone Age.
You're
anyway.
Going all MapQuest on us. How do you get there?
Yeah. I print them out. Yes.
You get in the car.
Well, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. We hope we fill up your retreat.
Thanks so much.
All right. It is 15 past the hour. We're going to be talking to Alan Migliorato when we come back on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for July 10th. Today we celebrate St. Veronica Giuliani. Born in Italy in 1660, Veronica's prayer was to be like Christ crucified. It is said that when her mother was dying, she called her five daughters to her bedside and entrusted each of them to one of the five wounds of Jesus. Veronica was entrusted with the wound below Christ's heart. At 17, Veronica became a Poor Clare nun. During her early years, she served in the kitchen, infirmary, sacristy, and as portress. At age 34, she was made novice mistress, a position she held for 22 years, and at 37, she received the stigmata. Wanting to test the authenticity of Veronica's reports, church authorities conducted an investigation. For a time, she lost the office of novice mistress, but eventually she was restored to that position. Devoted to the Eucharist and the Sacred Heart of Jesus, she offered her sufferings for the missions. Though she protested against it, Veronica was elected and served as abbess of the monastery until her death in 1727. She was canonized in 1839. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It's almost 19 after the hour on this Monday morning, and a happy one at that. Tuning your heart to the truth, Damian Collado, Gabby Smith, Dave Dawson, and right now, Alan Migliorato. A regular on Monday, he is the co-author of Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. Topic today, who influences our teens more, peers or parents? Alan's here to talk about that. We're also going to talk about why do teens idolize celebrities? So a couple of hot topics here, Alan. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy to be back.
Where do you want to begin, brother? Parents, teens, or is it, in my opinion, not so much an either or in some cases?
Oh, it's a great Catholic answer, right? We always say both and. So we got both influencing. I mean, everything influences teenagers. And the reason is they want to fit in. They want that identity. They want that welcome, that warm feeling. And everybody does. I mean, I think that's a natural, normal thing to want to be accepted. It's where they lose their identity for the sense of fitting in, and that's where the danger comes in. Is, you know, that's not who they really are, but they're starting to act like these kids that they hang around, or they're starting to act like, honestly, in some aspects, they're acting a bit much like their parents. And I think when teens get kind of like drawn into the celebrity idolization, I think a lot of that has to do with the way that their parents view the world. And I know that's going to be very unpopular for me to say, but I don't care about being popular. I care about helping get kids to Christ. And I think a lot of times parents focus on the material things in life, you know, like how I have to work harder. I got to work an extra shift this weekend, or I'm going to work on Sunday, or I'm going to work, you know, we're not going to church because I got to work so much this weekend. Or, you know, I put in 100 hours this week or 80 hours this week because we got to make that money to buy that new boat, to get that new house, to build the dock, the longest dock on the lake. You know, and celebrities push that as well. Yeah. And so if our seeing our parents exhibit a behavior, right, if they're watching their parents thirst after money and after material possessions, and then they see a celebrity that has obtained all those material possessions, that's what they look up to.
Right.
And it's very hard, you know, it's that balance of saying, yeah, you want to have a good life, but what is a good life? A good life is knowing that God loves you and that, you know, people care about you and love you and that you're surrounded by family and friends who really will your best. And that's what love is willing the good of the other. So as long as we're surrounded by people who will the good of us, then we have a happy life. But too many times we focus on the material possessions. So who influences them more? That's a great question, and I think that it is a both and, but I think that kids are surrounded by their friends more than they're around their parents after a certain age. They're at school with them for 8 hours a day. Their parents might see them a couple hours at night before they go to bed, and it's at that point where we've got to keep those lines of communication open. That dialogue's got to be there, because if it's not, then we lose our teens in that group that kind of vacuums them in and starts to change their identity.
Right. So as a parent, when the child is young, you're incorporating values and you're also incorporating likes and dislikes, and the child is picking up on that, and it's molding them, it's shaping them, because as Rush Limbaugh used to say, they have minds of mush, and they're just kind of absorbing things, what they see, but they're learning along the way. But you're right, once they get to a certain age, all of a sudden the peers start to make an impression on them. And even at a young age, I mean, a lot of parents, there's dual households where they're working, so they have to send their children to daycares and that type of thing at an early age, 3-4 years old. There's peer groups in that age group as well, even before they become a teen.
Oh, for sure. And think about, you know, food tastes or our fears. Like, I'm completely afraid of snakes. I can't stand them. I don't even like to look at them. So I get the chills just saying it. So, like, my kids are afraid of snakes, all of them, you know, and all three of my daughters are afraid of snakes. And maybe that would have happened anyway, but I think it's my extreme fear of that pushed that on them at a young age. I'm in Orlando, and so we went to this place called Gatorland, which, why I went there, I still have no idea, because it says there's gators in this land. But we went there, and they have this, like, up-close experience, and I was like, oh, that sounds like a fun show. Again, not thinking this through. But they have, like, you know, the walk through the audience holding a snake, and I'm like, what are we doing here? And I was scared to death, and I'm like, And my wife's like, what did you think up close and personal show meant at Gatorland? And I'm like, I don't know. I thought they would maybe ask me personal questions and yes and no. She's like, well, you're just stupid. So we got up and left. And of course, my kids remember me, who I'm really not afraid of anything except snakes. And I'm getting up and like walking out of this thing and going, I'm leaving. You guys can come or not, you know? And so they remember that. And that's the one thing that they point at all the time is, yeah, I remember when you got up and left that show because you were afraid. And now they're afraid.
Yeah.
So that's the same thing with you know, influence. They pick up on stuff.
And there's nothing wrong with being influenced. The key to it is making sure they're influenced in the right way. And, you know, as a parent, I could always remember as our kids were growing up, you wanted to know who they were hanging around and who was influencing them, hopefully in a positive way or at least in a way in which you could live with. And I think that's a key, too. Quite often, parents forget that they need to keep asking questions and being involved in their teen's life, even if the communication has almost become minimal.
Yeah. And teens are notorious for shutting you out. It's like, how are you? I'm fine.
Yeah.
What does fine mean, right? Feelings inside not expressed. So, like, we're like, how are you fine? Like, what exactly is fine about you? And then when you get into these arguments, it's like, well, I'm fine, too. Well, now I'm not, because now I'm upset with you for saying fine. And it's almost a comical thing to watch sometimes, but it's sad because parents don't know how to reach out and talk. And they ask yes or no questions. We've got to ask open-ended questions as parents to get our kids opening up to us. And then we have to be open in return. Being afraid, being influenced, you know, doing something wrong. We can't look like we're perfect all the time, or our kids will never be able to match that in their own lives. And neither are we. We just kind of fake it.
Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on idolizing or at least falling in love, as some young girls do, with celebrities?
Oh, geez,
because I know a young girl who's a big fan of the Jonas Brothers.
Are you talking about me?
Guys,
that was the best night of my life.
She goes gaga when she hears Jonas Brothers. But so the thing is, what is up with that, and is that okay?
Well, here's the funny thing about that, right? You're not really in love. Pay attention to this. You are not in love with the Jonas Brothers. You're in love with the image of the Jonas Brothers that you think that they are. So they have a really good manager who makes kids, like, flock to them. But maybe if you got to know one on a personal level, it would change your opinion and change your view of that person. So you're really not loving like Elvis, right? People didn't really love Elvis. They loved who they thought Elvis was. They didn't know Elvis personally. It's really like disliking a politician or liking a politician. You don't know that person personally. You just know what they're expressing in public about themselves or what they're being made to express. And they're a puppet. And so it's the same with celebrities. A lot of times they're puppets to the money or to the fame or to the, you know, to being influential. And that's why I think about the shoes that we buy. I mean, Air Jordans, they wouldn't have sold if they didn't have his name on the shoe.
Right.
Or you know, certain perfumes they won't sell unless they've got, you know, Kardashian's name on it or whatever.
Yeah.
But we're buying things because we want to be like that person, but we don't know that person. So it's not our real identity.
Mm-hmm. Good point. All right. Time for one more question. Why is it that our public education system seems to be getting into the act of influencing our children rather than educating them?
Ooh.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that question. I wish I had an answer for it. I just can't.
We're
being inundated.
Yeah.
We're inundated all the time. Our teens are inundated with thousands of messages daily, and we've got to help them to discern, not just look at, but really discern, like, with wise counsel, like, is this the right message? Is this true? Is it helpful? You know, is it a kind message? Is this really helping me? Or is it trying to get me to be more of a robot like everybody else in my class? And so that's why we have to know our identity as a child of God is first and foremost.
Amen. And how do we influence them and tell them about Christ? Because that is really the answer, Alan. When it's all of this that we've been talking about, the bottom line is Christ needs to be the one who influences us day in and day out.
Yes, and I think a good message to our question to ask our teens are is what Jesus says, what good is it to gain the world and lose your soul? You know, what good is it to gain the popularity of all those around you if you lose your identity as a child of God. And that's what we have to kind of keep feeding our teens, because they're consuming stuff. They're just not consuming the right thing.
Mm-hmm. I remember the wristband. They kind of gone away, but I wish it'd come back. Is what would Jesus do? Remember those wristbands?
Yep.
That I know young people
like
will wear them.
Yeah, 500 of them.
Yeah, yeah. We need to bring that back.
Amen.
All right. All right, Alan. Anything you want to add before we wrap up on this? And where do they go to get information, not only on this type of topic, but just in general, dealing with your teens day in and day out?
Check us out at AdventureCatholic.com or on Facebook, Adventure Catholic. And the only thing I want to add to that is, parents, just keep hope. You know, don't give up, and don't let discouragement, you know, take you down and say, I'm going to give up and let them do what they want to do. It's been going on for years, and it's a cycle that teens go through. So don't give up and stay and keep hope in Christ.
Hey, I love it. That's right. They do. They do become adults eventually. And
some of them do.
Alan Migliorato, thank you so much for being with us. We'll talk to you again next week, my brother. Have a great week.
All right, guys. God bless.
All right, don't go too far. David Dawson will be chatting with Dr. Tina Holland in just a moment on Wake Up. It is already 30 after the hour. Get up, get moving. You're listening to Wake Up.
Past the hour, you're probably on the road heading for work. You're listening to Wake Up. I'm David Dawson, along with Damian Collado and Gabby Smith. Or you could be watching us on YouTube or Facebook or Catholic Life TV if you're at home. Welcome. We appreciate it. We hope you're having a good Monday so far. And if not, we hope we're going to help you make it that way. We're talking with Dr. Tina Holland. She's the president of Franciscan Missionaries of Franciscan Missionaries of Our Lady University. There. Good morning, Dr. Tina.
Good morning. Hey, please call us Fran U.
Fran U is much easier, especially on a Monday morning. It's good to have you back with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Well, what's the latest? What is going on over at Fran U today?
Well, I have to tell you, there's a couple of neat projects that we have received generous financial support for, mm-hmm. so that once again, we're able to meet the needs of the community as we're called to do. Mm-hmm. One is in the area that we have historic success in, and that's in preparing nurses.
Right.
And the other is one where we have an even longer history, but not as well known, and that is in supporting the church and Catholic families. So the one where we will be growing our nursing program was through a $250,000 support program from the Board of Regents, where we're actually going to be educating more what we call accelerated Bachelor's of Science in Nursing students, or ABSNs. And these are non-traditional students who already have a bachelor's degree, who come in for about 16 months and receive their BSN, their Bachelor's of Science in Nursing.
In nursing.
And go straight out into the workforce, yes.
So in other words, so just a regular bachelor's degree yet in only 16 months? That's incredible.
Yes.
That must be pretty rigorous, or how does that work?
It's extremely rigorous.
Uh-huh.
It's extremely rigorous, and therefore, in order for us to continue, we've already started this program and have 100% pass rate, in order to get that kind of success, and I mean pass rate on their licensure exams, in order to have that kind of success, we have to have it particularly, fashioned in a through a Franciscan approach to education, which is very particularly relationship-based and assures the success of these students who come from a different demographic than your traditional students. They're typically older students with families and other sort of life day-to-day challenges that most young people do not have.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore the support services are based in research to assure that those students are going to be successful. So it's not only rigorous, but it also provides the type of support that's necessary in order to maximize the success of the students. And this is going to be done in collaboration with our Franciscan Health System colleagues.
Okay.
And they'll actually be partnering with Baton Rouge, North Shore, and Lafayette.
Oh, wow.
So it's a pretty expansive program, and it will probably more than double the number of accelerated BSN students.
My goodness,
as you may know, that's a growing number of college students are the non-traditional students because the demographic is just shifting in that direction.
Well, that's, and there's still such a need too for nurses.
Are there Dr. Holland, this is Damian, good morning.
Morning.
Clinicals, I'm sure that's part of the 16-month routine as well, right? The education process?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Both classroom and clinical experiences. And one of the problems for contributing to the shortage of nursing is the shortage of clinical rotations. So that's why it's critical that we partner with what we call practice partners or hospitals and other healthcare providers, which, again, puts us in a nice position and puts the health system, the Franciscan Health System, in a nice position to have this relationship with FRANU so that we can work with them to make sure that we've got those clinical rotations.
That's incredible. And plus, at the same time, your way of instruction as far as becoming a healthcare or a nurse or something is more than just treating medicinally, right? You are talking about treating
right.
the whole person, and that is the beauty of FRANU. Talk about that.
Well, it's not so the way that we teach sort of introduces then that future professional to the way in which they should care for others, and that is through their relationship with the patient. Our relationship with the student is what is going to determine the success of their academic experience, and in the same way, that relationship that is definitely, you know, grounded in Christ love is what will then also determine the quality of this care that they give to their future patients.
Wow. It makes such a big, big difference, because sometimes, you know, going to the doctor, sometimes I just feel like I'm a number, you know, and let's just move him along. And I wonder if I'm even being cared for at all, you know. So
It becomes very much a sort of industrial model. And that is not the way Franciscan education happens.
Mm-hmm.
And similarly, that is not the way Christ-centered healthcare should happen. It's more than just being nice. It's about really willing the good of the student and willing the good of the patient. And, you know, in that light, I also wanted to mention another initiative that's been supported through some very generous financial support, and that was through a Lilly grant of $2.2 million, just under $2.2 million, for something called the Dominus or Dominos Project that will be conducted in close collaboration with the Diocese of Baton Rouge.
Okay.
And it is meant to support parents who are seeking to nurture the spiritual lives of their children.
Oh, wow.
Especially through their, you know, their daily activities. And so Lilly was looking to churches and other faith-based organizations to support the needs of parents who want to instill stronger spiritual lives in their children. So our professor, Dr. Brian Pedraza, developed this project and submitted a grant. We were last week got word on that, and again, in a very Franciscan way, through collaboration and through relationship, we will be working with the diocese on this project called Dominus, meaning, of course, you know, the ruler, the Lord, who is Lord's in over our homes, and in our families and in our communities.
Wow.
So, Katina, is it too early, or how do people or families sign up to be a part of this?
Well, more will come out. We have just gotten permission to write a press release. I think it was Friday it came out, so that will be coming out. And Dr. Pedraza will begin working with the diocese on developing the program, creating all of the structure for it, and then families will be notified through their parishes how to get involved.
Wow. That is that is incredible. And Dr. Pedraza,
we were just talking about that, yes, in the last segment, how, yes, parents influence their children. And boy, this is a great way to do it.
This is quite the tool.
A good Catholic way. Yeah.
Boy, you Christian are absolutely right.
You know, we talk about the domestic church really being, yes, our families, mm-hmm, and the church itself also being family, extended family. So I think and that is such a richly Franciscan approach to growing the spiritual lives of people in the community.
Absolutely.
Which we all know is so much needed. And so, you know, it may seem like two very different kinds of things. You're saying nursing and you're talking about building up the domestic church, but really
it's nurturing,
is the quality of that.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Dr. Tina, thank you once again. Love talking to you. I love what you guys are doing over there, and we can't wait to have you back. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for your support.
All right. When we come back, we're going to talk to Father Bryce Higginbotham. Father Bryce Higginbotham. It's 45 on Wake Up.
It is 48 past the hour. You're tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Colado and David Dawson. Our next guest is Father Bryce Higginbotham. Father Bryce is a priest in the Diocese of Homo-Thibodeau. He is also a student at the Pontifical Biblical Institute in Rome. Good morning, Father Bryce. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Good morning, Gabby. It's great to be with y'all, as always.
It's so great to have you with us. And today we're going to be talking about the Eucharistic revival. And a lot of churches are now focusing in their parishes due to the National Eucharistic Revival, because we are in the year of the parish revival, which is June 11th of 2023 to July 17th of 2024. And I don't know about you, Father Bryce, but my parish is having a holy hour before each Mass, which I absolutely love. So before Mass, you
all
can go and
masses?
Sit. Well, the ones on Saturday, I know, and Sunday. So, but yeah, they're having an hour of adoration where you can sit in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I know there's Eucharistic processions. Our church is hurting. Our world is hurting. Talk about why this is so important and why we should get involved in some way or another with the Eucharistic revival.
Yeah, when St. John watches, like, the soldier pierce Jesus' side, remember that Jesus hanging on the cross, mm-hmm, the soldier pierces his side and the blood and water flow out, and St. John remembers a verse of scripture from Zechariah that says that they shall look on him whom they have pierced. So when we go to adoration in particular, like, we're gazing upon, we're looking at Jesus Christ, who we pierced, who we crucified with our sins, and who rose from the dead in love for us. And that comes with, I don't know if I should call it a promise, but it definitely comes with an effect. Because if you read that line in the Gospel of John, and then you go back in your Bible to the Old Testament, to Zechariah, God says, when in connection with looking upon the one whom we have pierced, he says, I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and pleas for mercy. And so the Bible says that when we look upon Jesus, whom we have pierced, what happens is that our hearts are opened up to receive mercy. So it comes with that, is it comes with an acknowledgement of our sins, but an acknowledgement of our sins is never, ever, ever, if it's from the Lord, for like beating ourselves up or for like saying that we're bad or some foolishness like that. Mm. But we look on Jesus, like our hearts are opened up at acknowledging our sins. And then as we acknowledge our sins, like this flood of mercy comes into us. And like we're able to live in greater freedom as like the beloved sons and daughters of God that we are. Like that's why we go to adoration, to open our hearts to receive his immense and immeasurable love for us.
Yes. And I love how there's just different ways that parishes or dioceses are getting their the people who live, the Catholics who live in those areas, involved more greater in the Eucharist. Even with spending 5 minutes in the Adoration Chapel, I know we're so busy. We're being pulled in different directions, but for those who are really struggling right now, Father Bryce, for those who are kind of doubting God, really not sure about the presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, as a priest, any advice or guidance that you can give in the amount of time that we have with you during the Eucharistic revival to really try and focus on him?
Yeah, I remember when I was in high school, I started going to Mass during the week on Friday morning. And I remember, crazy enough, as I went to start going to Mass more, like, I actually began, like, to doubt Jesus' presence in the Eucharist. And it turns out, like, that's a common thing. Like, as we grow in our faith, doubts come in, and those are opportunities for us to love. And I don't know how this came to me. I don't know if it was just the Holy Spirit or if somebody told me or what, but I thought of this scripture passage from the gospel where there's a man, his son's possessed by a demon, and he asks Jesus, he says, "Jesus, if you can heal him, please do." And Jesus says, "If you can, all is possible for one who believes." And the man said, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." And so what I started doing, praise God, by some act of grace, not my own merit, but somehow I would just go to the Adoration Chapel, like on my way back from school or practice or whatever, stop, like you said, for 5 minutes, usually not for longer. And I would just say those words, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." Because the fact that I was there indicated that there was some belief in me, but the fact that I was doubting indicated that there was also some unbelief in me. Help my unbelief. So that's my advice to anybody who's struggling with belief in Jesus and the Eucharist. Just get in front of the Blessed Sacrament, however you can, for however long you can, even if it's a short time, and pray those words over and over again. And it was a year or two that I did that before, and then, like, the faith in the Eucharist came back stronger, and a lot stronger. It took a while. It took a year or two. But persistent asking Jesus is the way to go. It's really always the way to go. Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened to you. So, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief.
I love that. Why is it so important? We have a couple of minutes left for our church to have this Eucharistic revival right now.
Because if the Eucharist is what Jesus says it is, and since Jesus is God, it must be, it has to be, it is, the Eucharist is Jesus himself. And so there's nothing more important than Jesus himself. Jesus is God. The Eucharist is Jesus. That's what we're made for, is to worship God. And so we go to the Lord. And the Eucharist leads, extends the graces of Mass and leads to the graces of Mass. Adoration is done primarily at first at the Mass when the priest holds up the Blessed Sacrament after the consecration. And then that's continued and led into by continuing to adore him, continuing to gaze upon the one we fear over and over again to open our hearts to his mercy.
I love it. Father Bryce, you're in the United States not too long ago. You were in Rome. Yeah. How's that going real quick with your studies?
Yeah, it's going well. If everybody could please pray for me. It's a 4-year program that I'm supposed to do in 3 years and we got 1 year left. So we're on track to get it done fast and I'm ready to get home. So everything needs to go well this year and go smoothly. So if everybody could pray for me for that, I would be super, super grateful.
You got it.
I love it. And I love how sometimes I'll be scrolling through my reels on social media, and then a video of you will pop up, and you're talking about a Bible verse or whatever you're talking about, a fun fact about the church, and that is truly evangelizing. Mm-hmm. I'm so grateful for those reels that I see amidst all the other junk that you might find on social media. Right. Those are the ones that I really love the most. So, Damien, if you don't mind, because I completely forgot that we have a priest in our last segment, Father Bryce, would you mind closing us out in prayer today?
Sure. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of media, which we can use to glorify you and to fill our minds with your truth. Lord God, please open both our minds and our souls to your truth. May those things that we have heard today, which were from you, be sealed in our minds, that we might remember them and that we might allow them to help us to grow closer to you. We ask this, O Lord, in your holy name, as we also entrust to you all of our needs, all of our intercessions, all of our petitions. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless all of you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father Bryce Higginbotham, priest in the Diocese of Houma-Thibodaux. We're so grateful for you joining us. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. It was a blessing. Bye.
We'll continue to pray for him as well. You can actually go on Houma-Thibodaux's Facebook and YouTube channels and take a look at some of the older videos Father Bryce did a few years back.
Great.
But they're really fruitful. So definitely check those out. But thank you guys so much for being with us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. We have a wonderful lineup for you tomorrow. Matt Estrade with Catholic Aging with Peace with Dementia Rosary will be joining us. We're talking to the Diocese of Baton Rouge Catholic Schools office and Father Brad Doyle over in St. Francisville at Mount Carmel. Have a wonderful Monday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.